go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Arrived. Yeah! Steal one from the old one-hit wonder Paper Lace. Not Penny Lane, but Paper Lace. The night Chicago died, right? Talking about Al Capone and all of this and all of that. Last night, right here in Duval, it was the night that Balky arrived. Sergeant Balky. I mean, right now I got a cap on. You can see it on YouTube. I'm going to take it off. Messy hair and all, a tip of the cap to the leader of this franchise. Just sensational. And I got ripped. I got ripped during the show. I said he was going to hit a grand slam. I said Balky would get it done. And as always, you know, I don't care about Balky. I don't care about Peterson. I don't care about the players. I care about you. Okay, whether you're digging ditches or yelling at the guy digging ditches, or you're a yuppie who screams at people on the golf course and doesn't tip well at a restaurant, I love y'all. I do. I've always done my show that way from what I believe Jaguar fans want to hear. And I can only imagine, because I followed it, but I can only imagine what went on in Duval last night when you were patiently waiting. Jaguars are on the clock. Number 17 and a move down. The venom spewed from Lane Avenue to the beach. It was just nuts, right? What is he doing? We knew he would screw this up. You got to be kidding me. Jags are going to jag back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. He adds a pick this year. He adds two really good picks next year, and he still goes out. And he gets his guy. Really, the only argument that could be made is if Quinyon Mitchell was his guy. Because, let's face it, the three individuals who have gotten the most play here in the last month and some change was Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, and the aforementioned Brian Thomas Jr. Those were the three. There were others, okay? But if you were to take everyone who covers this team, whether it's radio, television, online, and you were to put everything together, right, and get a mean, get an average, those were the three. Those were the guys that were getting the most talk. And Balky was one pick away from having all three there when he dropped down six spots. Of course, Mitchell did go, but it still left him with the opportunity to go with the defensive back and Terrion Arnold, and in this case, to go out and get himself in this city a guy that you now hope truly does give Trevor Lawrence what he has been missing, and that is a wide receiver number one. I don't think it happens overnight. I don't think it happens as early as, you know, early on this year. Developing him is going to be very important, but you just look at the body of work. And the fact that this guy has a 38.5-inch vertical, he runs a 4.33, right? The flying 20, I know our buddy Hayes Carlin asked about that last night, a 1.78. Balky, very familiar with that. My understanding is that the flying 20 really developed decades and decades ago in San Francisco, and that was one of the reasons that Jerry Rice was really attractive. Jerry Rice didn't run a good 40, but within the flying 20, which is the final 20 yards of the 40, Jerry Rice is as fast as anyone in the NFL. If you go back and you watch tape and you see Jerry Rice running away from people, it's like, well, I thought he didn't have a fast 40. He didn't have a great get-off. He didn't have a great first 20 or first 10. You know, his flying 20, Jerry Rice, was outstanding. Well, the flying 20 last night for Brian Thomas Jr., a 1.78, okay? This man can move. And what has Trevor Lawrence really been lacking around here? I think go patterns. I think just flat out lay him up and, you know, get after it, try to stretch defenses. The other thing, and there's been some of it here in 3 years, but the big-bodied wide receiver, you know, whether it was Higgins or whomever it was at Clemson, that was certainly a big part of it. But the throw to the back shoulder was something that Trevor Lawrence did really effectively when he played his college football. He hasn't been nearly as successful as a pro. I think part of that is the route tree. I think part of that is offensively. I mean, pick your offensive coordinator of the year, right? It changes every year, and I get it. The last two has been press, but, of course, the whole play-calling situation changed. We found out about it right before the start of the year that press actually called half the plays last year. Doug Peterson obviously did the other half. This year it went to press. You understand what I'm getting at, right? I think all of a sudden this becomes hopefully part of the operation to really do some things and be able to spread out defenses now with a legitimate vertical threat. I mean, 6'2", 209. I've seen a couple of 6'2 and a half, a couple of 6'3s. I think his exact measurement at the combine was 6'2", 209 pounds. So, you know, in a perfect world, I would have loved a 6'3 guy, 6'3 and a half, 6'4 guy. It isn't a perfect world. I think you have to be thrilled that they went out and they got this guy. 17 touchdowns a year ago. That led the nation. 1/4 of his receptions were touchdowns. And Trent Baalke kept talking about it last night, about targets that went 20 yards or more and how much that really came into fruition, if you will, during their analysis and their exhaustive work and preparation for the NFL draft to go out that particular way and say, this guy has done it in this fashion. He has been able to, he gave you an average of what, 17 and some change last year. That was the average, 17.3, 68 footballs, 1,177 yards. I mean, an average of 17.3. is absolutely, totally spectacular, if you look at it that way. As a matter of fact, I'm going to look it up here in just 1 second. I'll pull it up momentarily because I know we've talked an awful lot about average per and how it has not been good for the Jaguars at wide receiver the last couple of seasons. So, you know, it was a move that was made by Baalke, and moving back in the draft is something that I absolutely understand. Must have driven you crazy, at least for a small period of time. But it ended up being an A+, okay? Say what you want. Your feelings about Trent Baalke are listened to. There are so many of us who have been outspoken about him as well, whether it's good or bad. Okay, he knocked it out of the yard last night. He gets an A. He maybe gets an A+. And I tell you what else he showed. You know, I asked him about his job security 18 days after the end of the year. He kind of laughed at me. He said, I don't worry about my job, right? With everything that happened, I just think that you can't remain stagnant. Changes have to be made. You don't move down 6 spots. Pick up a 5th rounder this year and a 3rd and 4th next year unless you know that you are a part of the future of the Jacksonville Jaguars. If there was desperation that you had to win this year, that you had to win 10-plus games, you had to get to the playoffs, you're not moving down to acquire picks for 2025. He did. To me, that spoke volumes. Again, the only individual in the world that Trent Baalke has to impress is Shad Khan. Doesn't have to impress me. Doesn't have to impress any host here at 1010XL. Doesn't have to impress any one of you Jaguar fans. Because, again, I've read your comments. I've given you my comments. I would have fired him. I can't take it back. I would have fired this man. All right? He didn't do enough last year. He didn't address a pass rush. He used fringe picks on backs and tight ends. He was spectacular last night, and he deserves credit for that. All right. Brian Thomas, all of the upside is spoken for, okay? First off, before we get to that, let's play his first comment today. If you didn't get an opportunity to hear the press conference, that was really interesting. Brian Thomas, just like all these first-rounders, fatigue is set in. They get drafted last night. They shake a bunch of hands, kiss a bunch of babies, do a bunch of interviews. You get on the private jet. You got to travel across the country. Thankfully for him, it wasn't that long of a trip from New York out here to Duval. But he was asked earlier today when he met with the local media along with Trent Baalke and Doug Peterson on his rookie expectations.
My expectations are to just come in, earn the trust of the quarterback, earn the trust of my teammates, coaching staff, to know like when opportunity presents itself, I'm going to go out there and give my all, go out there and make the play. I would say that was my expectations coming in.
Everything's kind of running together for me. I think it was last night when I saw Trevor and him speak, via Zoom or whatever it is. Same way, I guess, what is it, Facebook or whatever? It's the same way I talked to my daughter out in Paris. But, you know, that actually did happen a night ago. And apparently they had never met one another, at least formally, like this. And, of course, they will with rookie minicamp coming up in a couple of weeks and OTAs actually underway right now. So we've given you all the good on Brian Thomas. The questions become as follows. Some say he's a one-hit wonder. Okay, he played as a true freshman. He played as an 18-year-old at LSU. He played as a 19-year-old at LSU. And then he exploded on the scene this past year during his junior campaign. Again, I gave you the numbers, 68 balls, 1,177 yards, 17 touchdowns that led the nation, an average of 17.3. I mean, that's supermodel stuff. That's Farrah Fawcett in a red bikini back in the mid-1970s. That is absolutely spectacular. However, others will say, well, 2021, he caught 28 balls. 2022, he caught 31 balls. 359, 361 yards, respectively, an average of 12.8 and 11.6. He improved. He's gotten better. Some are saying, be cautious here. It's a one-hit wonder, okay? Just giving you the other side. Also, he was, according to Albert Breer, flagged by some teams because of his shoulder, right? A minor shoulder situation. But nonetheless, Albert Breer, very well connected across the NFL, listed five or six guys who were projected to go in the first round, and it included Brian Thomas Jr., okay? Have a lot of respect for Dr. Kaplan. And I would never ask him, I've said this many times on the radio, one of the few things I would never do is ask a doc about the health of a Jaguar player. That is, I think that's just wrong. I mean, you could talk about hiring and firing, you could talk about benching, you could talk about moving on, but when you, and if it leaks from someone who's not a doctor, who's not a team physician, not a team trainer, that's one thing. But to go up and ask, there's not a lot of things I wouldn't do. That's one of them. Okay? I mean, so just leave it at that. That's just my opinion on it. But obviously, he was cleared. I mean, he wouldn't be here as the first pick in the draft for the Jaguars if, they felt that there were some situations. And, you know, that's another knock. Last year, you brought in two guys who, basically, from the moment they arrived, were given a red shirt. Certainly with Ventrell Miller, and I know he got re-injured here, but he was hurt to begin with. Cooper Hodges, all right, that's a totally different story. He's a seventh-round pick, and let's just leave it at that. But those are really the knocks on him. And if you go ahead and you look at his scouting report, it's actually a pretty favorable scouting report. And you know, just like everything else in the world, we tend to lean a little bit more on the negatives compared to the positives. And you know what's so fascinating about the difference when it comes to college football in the NFL? And this really goes back into the, you know, the early to mid 90s when college football recruiting was so important radio wise. It's just not anymore, right? The internet took that away, posting these videos, doing everything the way that they have. And of course, they now have two signing days and everything else. But, you know, those a little bit longer in the tooth remember when it was basically the pay numbers, 1-800 or whatever it was, and certainly radio, right? But when you would bring on these analysts, when you'd bring on Bill Buckhalter and Tom Lemming and Max Enfinger and Tom Barrow and all of these guys, they would say, he is the greatest quarterback we've ever seen since Joe Montana. Okay? It was pump him up, pump him up, pump him up, pump him up. 3-4 years later, when you get to the NFL draft, it feels like you got to find a weakness. No one comes in, you know, almost like Trevor Lawrence did 3 years ago, a quote-unquote generational talent, a guy who doesn't have any weaknesses. It's amazing how that whole thing turns 180 from being the best high school player you've ever seen to coming into the NFL with just all sorts of issues that need to be fixed. But, you know, the strengths for him are well-documented. Look at his weaknesses. This is NFL.com. I think this is Lance Zierling who had it. I'll just read them to you because there's only five. These are the weaknesses on his official scouting report for Brian Thomas Jr. Needs to pick up his route pace and salesmanship as a pro. Okay. Good teaching, good coaching. Should be able to pull that off. Will battle occasional focus drops. Can't have it. Can't have it. Right? Look it in. Don't give me focus. Whatever it is that's going on, push it out of your mind. We need focus. That's the one thing I want for the Jaguars in 2024. I want focus. They weren't focused last year. They needed out of here after week three. You got Parker Washington not knowing how to get out of bounds. You got a defensive coordinator and a head coach telling us you're making too much damn noise on defense. I need focus. So let's get on top of that right now at the start. For Brian Thomas Jr. Can avoid catch contact by working back to the throw. Okay, that's a weakness. Fast but possesses average run after catch talent. What? Didn't we just talk about a flying 20, a 178? Yet the scouting report says, I guess if you go more than 40 yards, the second 20, you go 30, 40, midfield to the 40, 30. He may go. He's going to get caught. That's what Lance Zierling is telling us. And finally, might need to ramp up physicality against clingy coverage. Avoid the clingy coverage. Run right by him. All right? Juke here, juke there. Head fake, move the hips, run. Route tree, learn it. Love it. Live it. Not a lot of weaknesses. It's an A+. Congratulations to Sergeant Balky for hitting a grand slam night one of the NFL draft. If you want to comment, and my goodness, I can look at it right now. It is burning up our text line. When did the internet actually just explode? Was that when Kim Kardashian dropped that nudie? Was that when it happened, JJ?
It was a video.
I thought it was just a still photo, and she said, break the internet, and, like, the world stopped for, like, 15-20 seconds.
Oh, I thought you meant the original Kim Kardashian.
No. I'm talking about when she said, break the internet. Do you remember that photo?
I bet no.
I would advise you to Google it, but do it on your phone, not on the computer here at work, because they could lead to a little bit of some issues. Well, that's the way I kind of feel right now here in Duval. I'm just looking at our text line, 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. My goodness, people are rolling in with their comments, and we are going to get to them tonight. I do want to, believe it or not, at least somewhat, get away from this pick and now focus on tonight, because we're 40 minutes away from round two in the NFL draft, and we're going to have it for you for 1 hour. Okay, then Hacker will be here, and I believe Dave Campbell is coming in to join him tonight as well. So all of a sudden, what do the Jaguars do now, right? A record-setting draft where it was offensive player after offensive player. What was it, 24 in the first round? 23 in the first round? Something like that last night. It, you know, the record was 19, and it was snatched a night ago, or snapped a night ago, and that also did not include a running back. We had two running backs selected in the first round during the 2023 draft. We did not have one last night, but I want to be able to try to start to feel this out. Where's Jacksonville going next? The convenient answer would be corner, right? If you look at the latest mock draft that I have, and I'll save this for the other side, they're going right at the top, right? Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Ennis Rakestraw. They're like three out of the first five or six picks to go. Balky talked about it today, the opportunity to possibly now trade, right? You've got a lot of players. You've got a lot of parts now, maneuvering parts. Balky got burnt on that last year. Remember, he kept trading down, 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 kept acquiring all these late picks, and then the feeling was, well, he's going to package a whole bunch of them together, move up, get a player. He was never able to pull that off, okay? Is this the opportunity? Is there a guy, whether it's, I would love an offensive lineman. I would absolutely love it if we heard that they were going after Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. Or I would absolutely love it if we heard they were going after Blake Fisher, an offensive tackle out of Notre Dame. I know that a lot of you out there are kind of like, oh, no. You need a corner. You need a defensive tackle. Maybe you need another pass rush end. What if there is a guy that this football team absolutely loves, that they believe is first-round talent? Can they find a trading partner? Is this the opportunity tonight for Jacksonville to package picks? They don't have their third-round pick originally, right? That was lost in the Calvin Ridley decision. It went to Atlanta. They did pick up a compensatory third-round pick after they lost Juwan Taylor to the Kansas City Chiefs. I know that's new for you, Jag fans. You've like never had to recognize this before or digest this before. Actually, losing a player that was considered credible by league standards to the point where the organization was given a compensatory pick. I mean, it's like almost, it's as rare as Trent Baalke drafting a first rounder who's a wide receiver. And that happened. One of them last night, the other one when it was announced when those compensatory picks actually did come in. So I want to be able to really look at that. And, you know, let's get into what we think is going to happen. The momentum right now, I think, is about as good as you could ask for. I mean, and again, I just can't help. I think about what you were going through. And I watched Twitter, because I put out on Twitter like around, you know, 15 or 16. I'll go back and find her here during the break. But I'm like, Trent Baalke's going to hit a grand slam tonight. Sit back and enjoy. And when they trade it down, go read my timeline. Yeah. Go cover politics, Blue. We know you love classic rock. Pick up a graveyard shift overnight and play some Deep Purple and play some Supertramp. Maybe mix in a little bit of early Rush, like Working Man, before the late Neil Peart joined the band. I mean, I was getting all these comments, and all of a sudden, well, wait a minute. Maybe he knew. Maybe he knew what these other teams are going to do. Maybe he knew that he had a great opportunity of having the reported two out of three guys still there when Jacksonville came up at number 23. So the momentum is incredible. Will they be able to keep it going tonight? Let's grab your thoughts on that. As always, you can get me on Twitter, Blue1010XL, or on the text line brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. That number is 641-1010. All right, opening comments brought to you by Schmunez Vision. Mm-hmm. Big fan for several reasons. Number one, that's a family organization. Huge part of the city. Huge part of Duval. The great folks over at Shmunez. And, you know, it should be everything from your kids to your grandparents, right? You need good eyes. And if your eyes are fatigued after a long day, if all of a sudden, you know, you look in the mirror and you notice they're bloodshot, or maybe someone in the office is like, well, my husband had a cataract issue and it was just awful, and you're petrified of cataract surgery, you may not need surgery. There may be a simple remedy that they can provide. If surgery is needed, guess what? They're the best around. High-quality medical and surgical eye care. Laser eye surgery. The rest of your days, 2020. I'm telling you, last night after the draft, I was up, I was reading, and it happened to me again. The book hit me in the nose. I was ready to roll over and just pass out. But Had to get up, had to take out my contacts, right? I'm not a candidate for laser eye surgery. It's because I had eye surgery 8.5 years ago. Dr. Neil Shmunez performed that. If I was a candidate, I'd have it. I get it done in a heartbeat. My buddy Dr. Michael Shinatry had it. He swears by it. He got it a couple months ago. He's a young guy. He's like, you know, I surf. I do all sorts of stuff. I want great eyes. That's what you get at Shmunez Vision. So check him out today online. Shmunez Vision Care. You can see. Stop pushing it away. Get your eyes looked at. When we come back, J.J. LaSalva and I, we're going to take a look at last night's poll and our question, which is kind of eerie right now because it could hit. It absolutely could hit. And let's grab some of your comments, okay? What should the Jaguars do tonight in the second round? Player, position, trade up, stand pat. Your thoughts. 641-1010 is the text line, along with J.J. LaSalva. My name is Rick Bogan.
Like Coach mentioned earlier, he's a guy that brings a skill set that we haven't necessarily had to the level that he brings in terms of, you know, he's 6'0", 270, he's 209 pounds, and he runs sub 4.4, you know, mid 4.3s. So, and he's got the production to back it up. Like I said earlier, I think 22 targets over 20 yards, and 15 of them ended up in touchdowns. And a 17-plus average. So, you know, we're just looking forward to getting him in here and getting our hands on him and going to work.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Talk about it
still. When a man named Al Capone tried to make this town his own, and he called his gang to war with the forces of the law.
I heard my mama cry.
The Night Sergeant Foggy arrived.
Brother, what a night it really was. Brother, what a thought it really was. Glory be. I heard my mama cry.
Go out and win a bar bet, ladies and gentlemen. Paper Lace, the Night Chicago Dad. Apparently, they're raving about the once great Al Capone. Which I do get Trent Baalke, though. All right. Let's move on, but I did look it up. Okay. The 17.3 average over 68 receptions last year for Brian Thomas Jr. You ready for this? Some of you may forget. The great Calvin Ridley. Okay. The game breaker. The guy who's a ability to, you know, stretch defenses, take the top off, or whatever it is, whatever the expressions are. He averaged 13.4 yards a reception last year. Christian Kirk averaged 13.8. Zay Jones, 9.4. Now, I think it's unfair to say that you can expect this man to have an average of 17.3 right out of the gate. But they're aware, they understand that this is a large part of the offense that has been missing. And we can go back and forth forever on Calvin Ridley. He disappointed. He was pedestrian. He did not make big plays like we witnessed in August at the Miller Electric Center. He's also gone. I got it. Congratulations to him. He got paid. Hopefully this does work out. All right. According to ESPN and Steve Munich does a really good job with Scouts, Inc., it's pretty scary at the top if you think that Jacksonville should go for a corner. Right out of the gate, Cooper DeJean going to Buffalo. 35th pick overall, Kool-Aid McKinstry going to Arizona. 36th overall, the Commanders taking Ennis Rakestraw Jr. Okay, so three out of the top four are DBs. Number 41, Green Bay, Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia, going 41st. Number 43, Atlanta, going TJ Tampa out of Iowa State. So that's a fifth corner going that early in tonight's draft, and we know that the Jaguars obviously do select at number 48. If that is what you have identified, if that is where you believe this team absolutely has to go, I don't feel that way. I don't. I draft an offensive lineman. Okay? I mean, I would. I would draft an offensive lineman. But if you feel they have to go a corner, unless they have someone else ranked really high, which they could. I mean, we saw surprises last night. We're going to see surprises tonight. Just because these mock drafts, just because members of the media say that this guy is ranked over that guy and that guy, I'm sure they look at him, but this is their expertise. And I've always kind of considered this particular feeling, right? If they were... And there's the Jeremiah, you know, there's the, who am I thinking of? Daniel Jeremiah, the Louis Riddicks. Yes, there are those who used to be in organizations, used to be in front offices. But with all the credit that Todd McShay gets and all the credit that, well, here's one for you. Look what happened to Mike Mayock. Mike Mayock, if you go back a few years ago, to me, he was probably... the best listen. I enjoyed him more than McShay. I enjoyed him more than Kiper. I enjoyed him more than anyone else. And what happened, the Davis family gave him the keys to the organization. Man, he came in and flatlined. He's completely out of it. That my point is teams will look at these analysts and these draft nicks, and I'm sure it's used as maybe somewhat of a formality. But you can also really make the case that if they were really that good at their job, wouldn't they be working for one of the 32 teams in the NFL? I think that that's fair to look at it that way. So I go offensive line tonight. If you believe they got to go corner, give us your thoughts. I think defensive tackle is in play as well. JJ, you know, the poll that you put out there last night that – we did. The end results were T. Higgins, 33%. Obviously, that didn't happen. The next was the combination of Terrion Arnold and Adonai Mitchell at 31%. Then it was Quinyon Mitchell and Keon Coleman at 23%. The last selection was Brian Thomas Jr. and Chris Jenkins. It came in at only 13%. On our poll, according to the aforementioned Steve Munich, and we're going through the second round right now, tonight's mock, he has Jacksonville at 48, taking the defensive tackle out of Michigan, Chris Jenkins.
Yeah, I guess that would be the last thing that anyone wanted that they were voting on, I guess. It only got 12%.
It did get knocked up
A
to 13.
Plus.
Yeah. But, hey, we just try to have some fun with it, and a lot of people did contribute, so we appreciate it. All right, give us your thoughts. I mean, we spent 6 weeks talking about Brian Thomas. The right move, the wrong move. I know you and I both last night forecasted a corner. We both forecasted Mitchell. He went one pick ahead. Right move, wrong move, happy with it? What are your thoughts?
I'm fine. I guess it's a good move because you got a couple third-round picks, but you didn't get the position that I thought they needed most. So I don't love it. I don't hate it. I'm fine.
61-65, believe they need to either protect Trevor or get some help for the defensive line. Helping the line would help our DBs. That is from the 61-65. I just absolutely agree. I totally agree. If they let these five defensive backs go off the board, sit at 48, and then grab the next best corner, I think it's going to be a mistake. Because it becomes, I believe now, an obvious need. Okay? And it's been discussed, and it's been talked about ad nauseum. You can't have enough good football players in the ditch. I would stress offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. I mean, I'm not even thinking about anything else. But I'll tell you, I would rather have a defensive tackle than a corner at 48. I think there's going to be better available defensive tackles who have been graded that way than there actually are corners, if that makes any sense. I mean, we had a couple of corners go late last night, but we're going to have this run of corners at you know, three out of the first five are going to be corners. Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and Eric Raystraw. Eric Raystraw, that's actually three out of the first four who are corners. You look at defensive tackles, that becomes a totally different story. Here's Jerzon Newton. Okay, he's battling a fracture in his leg. He played at Illinois. What does that mean around here? No one knows anything about him. No one watches Illinois play. No one watches Illinois play Purdue. No one around here watches Illinois play Iowa. No one around here watches Northwestern play Illinois. I get it. It's SEC country. He's graded out really well. Okay? He's going to go before the Jaguars pick. You can make the case of Braden Fisk, number 42, out of Florida State. I mean, the guy's 6'4", 292 pounds. Look what he did at the Senior Bowl. Look what he did at the Combine. If this is the guy that they love, you may have to move up to get him. Okay, we just talked about Chris Jenkins. Here's another guy that is tournament tested. Here's a guy who's played big games throughout the course of his career. He is a huge football player, 6'3", just over 300 pounds. Is that the decision that this football team is going to make? So, you know, there's at least bodies there, okay? There's also bodies at the top part when it comes to corners. I tell you, the two positions that really stick out that are really lacking now that we get into the second round, there's not a lot of great offensive linemen, highly regarded offensive linemen at this particular point. And there's also not a lot of pass rush defensive ends. You can only pick one player. And I think they made the right move a night ago. But that's why, hopefully, they love a guy so much that they're willing to package some players and move up in the draft. I would much rather have them get a corner. Let's say it is Kool-Aid McKinstry. And some of the draft analysts we had on said that he is by far the best cover corner in the draft. Right? Better than the guys that were selected last night in the first round. If they are looking at this kid who's, you know, 6'1", 203 pounds, and they think he is absolutely the future, he'll shut down one side of it for us, move up and get him. Okay, you know, you got to find someone to trade with. Now, if you think there's not much of a difference between him and DeJean and Raystraw and Lassiter and TJ Tampa and others, then you can see what happens and how things do fall into place. I mean, every city right now across the United States is talking about this same thing. What is their team going to do tonight in round number two? You know, the needs that every organization has. What do you have as far as pawns? What do you have as far as pieces that you can put together that would allow you to move up? Jacksonville's rich in that area. They picked up two future good football players last night. Feel free to move one of those with tonight's second round pick. And even if it can it get you up, I don't have the chart in front of me, the table in front of me. Can it get you up 6-7 spots? Or instead of you're at 48, all of a sudden, you know, you're at 41, 40. And that will allow you to get the guy that you absolutely do covet. Yada, yada, yada. Let's see. 41-05, if Bulky trades up and gets Cooper DeJean tonight, put him in the pride. Okay, the pride of the Jaguars. Cooper DeJean is, his tape is scary. It really is. He's going to have to deal with some misconceptions and some stereotypes and some things like that. There's also some school of thought that he is so rangy that he can do so many different things for you that he's not going to be asked to just be a cornerback in the NFL. He could be a nickel in the NFL. He could be a safety in the NFL. So he's anything but a one-trick pony, all right? He's a guy that they think can do a variety of different things, and I would expect him to go probably within the top five tonight. As a matter of fact, this mock draft I'm looking at ESPN, it means nothing, but it's still out there. He's the top pick to go. So there are those who believe that that is the direction that Trent Baalke should go tonight. 8889 says, Blue, I say package the same picks St. Louis gave the Jags to move up. Was it St. Louis or was it was L.A., right? Unless he's going way back when. I say package the same picks. St. Louis gave the Jags to move up 7 in the first round so the Jags can move up 10 or 12 in the second round and get ahead of our AFC South rivals and get a dynamic second-round pick. It's not a bad idea at all. It's actually a very good idea. Trent Baalke's not going to trade up just for the sake of trading up. He's only going to make that move if he believes there's a football player that they cannot allow to go elsewhere. And he did that 2 years ago with Devin Lloyd, right? Now, it hasn't worked yet with Devin Lloyd. I'm not ready to say it will never work. It hasn't been, you know, overwhelming, but that's part of his history as well. I think when you think of Trent Baalke, it's always trade down, trade down, trade down, acquire more picks. There have been situations where he has traded up, and that was one of them, again, a couple of years ago, making the move to go on out and get him. I think he traded up as well for maybe Jordan Smith, if memory serves me correct. I'll have to look back on that, and I will. All right, let's get things cleared up here as we head towards the top of the hour. And, hey, we're going to have the NFL draft on. That's coming up in 10 minutes. I understand all of the glamour of the first round. And one thing that we're clearly seeing now with the NFL draft, and I get it, is they're making it about the player. They're not making it about the team. They're making it about the player who was selected in the first round. And that's fine. I mean, it's them who should be recognized. I do miss a little bit, though, those old days, right, when Andrea Kramer was here in town interviewing Tom Coughlin. You had Chris Mortensen. You had all these reporters, you know, all across the country. And whenever a pick was made, instead you would talk to the head coach or you would talk to the general manager. Again, life goes on. We'll get over it. I understand the new NFL and what they're trying to do, and it's so competitive now. You have several different channels. What did you watch it on last night, JJ?
Just at the house.
Yeah, what'd you go with? What particular?
Oh, I switched between the Belichick one and then just regular ESPN.
I couldn't find the Belichick one. Was it ESPN Plus?
Yeah, I had it on my laptop. I had the sound off for the whole thing. The draft, to me, I hate it. It's boring and... Yeah, I like looking at it after it's over, and the only interesting thing to me was the Penix part, and that was hilarious.
It was hilarious. It was absolutely.
Yeah,
hilarious.
I'm out on the draft as a whole. Yeah, I used to get excited as a kid when it was on Saturday, but it's just the NFL does a good job of hyping it up, but they don't have me.
No,
they have 150,000 people in the street, but they don't have me.
Well. You know, I did have that Panthers Lightning game on.
Yeah, I was watching the Lakers. I was watching actual sports last night.
With no volume, I had that on, and I kept it on ESPN. I would have gone the NFL Network route, but I just can't. I can't listen to Rich Eisen. I'm sorry. I just can't do it.
He's the worst.
I just can't do
Never
Rich Eisen.
Never has had an opinion, by the way. His one opinions, like the opinions he does have, are always like sanitized, and they're exactly what you're allowed to have. You know, he's never said anything to make me be like, wow, that's interesting. Or he's never taken the opposite view of things. He's just there.
Yeah, he is. And it's really
like Greenberg.
It's really disappointing when you dislike one guy so much that the set has the set has three other guys that I really like. I like Charles Davis. I like Daniel
Jeremiah. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
See, the problem with the Belichick one, it was cool because they got his input on all the picks. I pulled up at the house right as the Pats were picking, which was cool to see Belichick have to break down the Patriots pick.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a table full of McAfee's goons with Belly. It's like, why are we letting these people talk? They're like talking over him. I'm like, dude, it should have just been Belichick, McAfee, and maybe like, I don't know, a former player or something.
Is that what they call him? McAfee's goons? Or is that
that's what I call him.
Okay. I didn't even look for it. I looked at the other ESPNs and there was nothing on.
Yeah, ABC does the broadcast where it's like the, hey, how many people in your family have died broadcast?
What?
Like the, you know.
Okay.
The tears and the Tom Rinaldi broadcast.
I believe that
was the one where they asked Michael whatever his name is, Thomas's mom, how far they've come as a family, and she said from Louisiana.
Really? I missed that. Yeah,
yeah,
I wasn't.
Hilarious.
I wasn't. I looked at the ESPNs and figured that's what it would be. I didn't even consider ABC. I didn't even consider ESPN Plus.
There's a thousand of them, man.
Yeah.
Every YouTuber has their own live stream, and I guess CJ Stroud was doing one.
I thought ESPN's coverage was good. Yeah, I'm not a fan of Greeny, but at least Greeny didn't talk much. Greeny set the table and he let Lewis Riddick go. He let Booger McFarland go. He let Mel Kiper. And that was a complaint I had years ago, is that when it was Berman and stuff, it's like, this is where you want to hear from Kiper. And they didn't give enough opportunity back in those years to explain how he had him ranked and why he had him ranked there. Instead, it was others who are certainly familiar with the game, but were, I thought, going overboard with it. But I found myself last night on ESPN. Booger McFarland called out Trevor Lawrence. I put that on Twitter. He said enough, and I'm paraphrasing. Booger McFarland last night said enough is enough. You got your guy. Wide receiver one. No more excuses for Trevor Lawrence. It's time for him to step up. And you know what? He's right. Trevor will tell you that.
Doug people Peterson still use the O-line as an excuse.
Yeah. Well, and
I mean, I don't even know how much this guy's going to even play next year, honestly. Is he like your third wide receiver or fourth?
I think he's your starter opposite Gabe Davis, and it's Kirk in the slot. Yeah. And they got to make a decision after June 1st on whether or not to hang on to Zay Jones. Right now, it makes sense to keep him because they have plenty of money under the cap. But I think he's going to be a day one starter. That would be my opinion on what's going on here with Brian Thomas. But yeah, some people were upset with Booger McFarland last night. I put it on Twitter. Anyway, that is that. Let's get ready for our second hour. 641-1010 if you want to get on in on the text line. That's brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. He's JJ. I'm Rick Ballew with you tonight till 8.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Happy birthday, Gary Wright. He would be 81 today. Of course, he passed, I'm guessing, 2 years ago now? Two-hit wonder. The Dreamweaver and...
I've just closed my eyes again.
So ahead of his time.
Climbed aboard the Dreamweaver train.
Also sang Our Love is Alive.
Trying to take away my worries.
Back when lyrics actually meant something. Second round underway. Buffalo on the clock. Start the clock. 7 minutes. It is showing it to us. This doesn't become a dog and pony show now that we're in the second and third round. Keep the running clock, right? Let's get to it. Boom, boom, boom. You're going to lose listeners and or viewers. First round is a big party. Second round should be about just rolling through pick after pick after pick. We're going to edit our text line, 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. And this may be the greatest appreciation that I've ever seen for Trent Baalke, except for the 0924 says, are you serious, Ballou? Last night was a disaster. How do you form that type of conclusion unless you were convinced that, you know, they should have moved up to get a Brock Bowers, they should have moved up to get whomever, okay? I know there's always going to be a few, but I'm surprised that there are some out there that actually believe that that was the case. 27-72, Ballou, let's be honest. Give that defense a lead, and they will get the job done. I think that's the goal. I believe it's been the goal last year as well. It worked to Kirk. It worked till Kirk went down. Yes, and that goes back to Booger's point. And I don't know why I'm giving Booger McFarland all this credit. It's been said here. Trevor has to get better. Trevor has to eliminate stupid plays. He made stupid plays last year. I'm not giving up on him. I'm all for it's going to work. But he needs to become a better football player, a smarter football player. And that's why year after year after year, I start with the offensive line. I am with the offensive line. And again, Tom McManus, who we had on a couple of nights ago, said it best on his podcast. This team has more weapons, are better with the weapons that they have than what they are when it comes to protecting Trevor Lawrence. There's no doubt. I'm not going to let it get lost into my feeling all along. They massively missed with the offensive line. Okay? I would have let Cam Robinson go. I wouldn't have brought back Ezra Cleveland. I would have cut Brandon Scherff. And really, the only guy I would have had from last year's group would have been Anton Harrison. They brought in Mitch Moore. They made the move and brought in Morris, right? The starting center. That's it. But they walked it back. I hope I'm wrong. I hope this offensive line becomes the Great Wall of Duval. I do. Right now, I have my reservations. And I'll also tell you again, if you're joining us for the first time, if I had any say tonight, I'm getting an offensive lineman. That is where I'm going. 49-60, Ballou, A-plus for Baalke in round one. Want to grade him on rounds 2 through 4. Okay. Last year he went Brenton Strange in the second, Tank Bigsby in the third, Ventrell Miller and Tyler Lacy in the fourth. Ugh. Yuck. They could be solid contributors this year. They weren't last year. Second round and on in 2022. They didn't have a second round pick because they moved up for Devin Lloyd. Third round pick, Luke Fortner. Third round pick, Chad Muma. Colossal failure. 2021, even though Urban had his fingerprints all over it. Urban had his fingerprints all over a whole heck of a lot of things while he was here.
And Ohio.
Let's see. Second round pick in 2021, Tyson Campbell. Walker Little. Third round pick, Andre Sisco. Fourth round pick, Jay Tufele. Fourth round pick, Jordan Smith. I didn't look it up. I think they traded up to get Jordan Smith. That's the best draft class they've had, but two of those picks didn't work. Jay Tufele and Jordan Smith. Walker Little, they dropped the ball there. I mean, I don't even know how else to say it. Sisco appears to be really good. Tyson Campbell appears to be really good. All right, listen, we got to get caught up just because I've been so long-winded here early on tonight. They still haven't even begun to roll the clock. Roger Goodell is out there. He's got all these ponies up there with him, some dogs, and it's a big event here for Roger. So they're doing all the right stuff. I do love when they give time out to the military. I think that's cool. Played golf this week with a 25-year serving member of the Naval, of our Navy, from the Naval Academy all the way through. So it's cool. They deserve all the appreciation that, in fact, they are receiving. But we're not going to have that pick bust right out at 7, as I thought. It's already, what, 7:09, and they still haven't even started the clock, which begins at 7 minutes. So let's do this. Let's take a break, and we come back. Hopefully, we'll be able to roll through this second round. Random fire. Will there be any trades tonight? Will that include the Jags? Keep it right here. We'll keep you in the know.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, the draft is being delayed a little bit in the second round as Roger Goodell is personally shaking and hugging every member of the Michigan Wolverines national championship team. It's the first time that that's ever happened, but it's in Detroit. So they brought them all in, and again, I mean, just get along with it, right? It's fine in the first round, but that's where the glamour is. That's where the glitz is. Now we are entering the meat and potatoes of the draft. Run through them. It's 7:15, and they still haven't made a pick. I'm only on the air for 45 minutes. I was kind of hoping we were going to have 6-8 picks in, random fire. We get to that. Didn't we have that last year? Didn't we have that 2 years ago? What's changed in a year, JJ?
What do you mean?
I remember sitting here last
year. Oh, like how fast it was?
We had pick after pick after pick in the second.
I think once you get into the meat of the second round, it starts to go a little bit quicker. But yeah, we have to have the NFL propaganda, of course. Also, the thing that I hate in the second round is now we have like the former players or whoever go up there and give their speech before they make the pick, and it's a lot of like self-patting on the back. Just make the damn pick, man. I wish they could just send it in and would come up on the bottom line. Like I said earlier, not for me.
Gives us something to complain about. Everything
so
around here is
unentertaining to me.
Everything around here has been just so off the chart positive. That except for that one guy who said that what Bulky did last night was a disaster.
Well, you've been a lot more positive on this draft pick than a lot of people I've heard at this station.
Yeah?
That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, because you know where I stand. I'm offense, 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 offense. The only thing I would have been more excited about if they got Powers Johnson, you know, the center out of Oregon, if they addressed offensive line in the first round.
What would they have done with him, though? Like three centers on the roster? That would have been silly.
Yeah, the Moore steal could be 1 year. We know that Sheriff is around for only 1 year.
Okay, so have him play guard.
Either that or do what Atlanta did and just, you know, go out and draft him and have him sit for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, that was
like Fontenot said after getting Penix.
The video of him explaining to Arthur Blank.
It's priceless.
I guess explaining is not the right word. Justifying why he drafted Michael Penix was priceless, man. It made me cringe. The fact that he didn't have to, like, check with the owner before he did something like that is crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, this is the franchise that didn't hire Bill Belichick.
Right, right. The pick is being absolutely criticized by everyone. But I will say this. You don't need Arthur Blank making your pick.
I agree with that. But it's odd to me that you would sign a quarterback.
Yeah.
And then draft a quarterback in the top 10 without the owner knowing.
It makes
or at least
sense.
Whoever, like, the owner's right-hand man, handler, slash, does he have, like, a son? You know, does he have a, like, you know, Jerry mm-hmm. Jones' son kind of runs things, yeah. We think, and then Kraft's son sort of run things. I guess Arthur Blank doesn't have that.
The guaranteed money for Cousins is, I mean, and he went on to say that he may sit for 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
I mean, it just, yeah, it totally, absolutely blows you away to see that did happen. 7652 says, fat guys, get more fat guys. Come on, Blue, we need fat guys. Hey. Mm-hmm. All right, first pick of the second round, Florida State's Keon Coleman becomes the first pick of the second round. 6'3", 213.
That's to the Bills, right?
Goes to the Buffalo Bills.
And they just lost their number one wide receiver and number two.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one to watch for fantasy football.
How about
put up big numbers next year?
How about Buffalo making a trade with Kansas City last night? Like, I mean, considering that's become, at least recently,
rivals.
A pretty good rivalry. Yeah. All right. So this is a little bit of a surprise. Let me pull this up here, and we can kind of grade along with it. If you look at best available players, according to ESPN, Cooper DeJean is number one. Let's see. Braden Fisk was 8. They already take him off the board. Maybe they did. Boy, they're pretty quick here online, unless he gets to the second part of it. No, all right, so he's already off. They're ahead of things here online, even right there with television. So pretty impressive there. But Keon Coleman, I got to say, that is a surprise for me. I thought that he would go tonight, maybe mid-second round, late second round. I really marvel over his talent. Okay, he had some issues. He dropped balls that, frankly, you can't drop. And it'll be interesting to see what they end up saying about him. I didn't think his route tree was as fluid as it should have been. Now, a lot of that is because of the offensive design. Just go to that Clemson game. Remember how on one side of the field, Johnny Wilson, and the other side of the field, Keon Coleman, all they did was run goes. There was nothing scientific about it. There was nothing crafty about it. Jordan Travis dropped back and threw it. And you take advantage of the height of both Coleman and Wilson. And it worked. I was also in Tallahassee when he caught a similar ball to end up knocking off Miami. I like Keon Coleman. He's going to be a good football player. We'll see what ends up happening. So round number two does get underway.
And we have a trade already.
With Keon Coleman. What do we have now?
So the Chargers just traded with the Pats. So the Chargers are now on the clock.
Bill Belichick back in New England trading or what?
They got the trading back, of course. So the Chargers trade this pick, 37 and a fourth, to the Pats for number 34 and a fifth.
Okay. We'll see what particular move they will end up making. So,
Ladd McConkey.
Boy, man, Keon Coleman, poor guy, going to Buffalo. Man, he just spent a year in God's country. Now he's got to go off to Buffalo. And I know he's getting paid. It's second-round money.
They're going
to
win. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to be good. He's going to get lots of balls.
You can rent, right? Get out of there when your career's gone.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the season's not very long. No. So just stay there during the season and bounce back home. The Chargers take Ladd McConkey from Georgia. I love that pick.
Back-to-back wide receivers. Yeah, that's a deal where, even though financially I'm sure it makes a little bit of a difference, but can you imagine being Ladd McConkey knowing that you're on your way to Los Angeles where you could have been on your way to Buffalo? That's like, I mean, literally night and day as far as your future over the next 4 or 5 years or whatever could be extended way beyond that. Then if you get married and you have kids and they're going to school, I mean, you could end up living in Buffalo for the rest of your life, okay? And only because you ended up getting drafted by that particular organization. So there's a chance that could end up happening as well. All right, early on, second round, now that we are actually getting some things going, Keon Coleman, first pick in round two. He goes to Buffalo out of Florida State, 6'3", 213 pounds. Ladd McConkey, wide receiver. Out of Georgia. After the trade, he goes to the Los Angeles Chargers, 6 foot, 186 pounds. He ran a 4.39. Hey, back to Coleman for a moment. He ran that 4.61 They thought it would hurt him. His 10-yard split was a 1.54, which obviously is really moving. And there's different metrics. We talked about it with the flying 20 with Brian Thomas. And, you know, think about it just like driving a car or anything along, everything along those lines. Once you get moving, you're going to be faster. At least you would hope you're faster than when you start. But when you look at the split here with a guy like Ladd McConkey, he's really quick out of the gun. He can run. The case here with the selection of Brian Thomas Jr., his flying 20 running a 1.78 during a 4.33 40. If you don't know what that means, the second 20 yards out of the 40-yard dash, he ran it in a 1.78. So he is flying once he gets to the 20 and runs 20, 30, and 40 yards.
We have another trade.
Two in a row.
Yeah. The genius that is Fontenot for the Falcons has traded up with the Cardinals. So now the Falcons are on the clock. No word yet if they're going to take a quarterback.
Jordan Travis is available.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of who's still out there. Spencer Rattler.
let me see. Do we have positions?
They might both get hurt. I mean, Cousins and Penix could go down. You never know when you need another.
For what it's worth, ESPN.com, the highest-rated quarterback right now is Spencer Rattler out of South Carolina. Then it's Michael Pratt out of Tulane. Keaton Slovis, BYU. Slovis also played at USC. Jordan Travis is the fourth highest-ranked quarterback. Then it's Devin Leary out of Kentucky. Joe Milton, Sam Hartman. So there you go. The names I just mentioned, we'll never know. We will in years down the road, but right now, can you forecast that any one of these quarterbacks is honestly going to end up being a guy? I mean, look at Brock Purdy a couple of years ago.
I was just about to say.
Yeah. I mean, it could happen. Crazier things certainly have.
If you had to bet, though, out of all the quarterbacks in the first round taken yesterday, do you think any are going to be good? Like, above average, like, multiple Pro Bowl good? I don't see it. I mean, what do I know? But I watching those guys in college, I was never, like, wowed by any of them, thinking, man, this guy in the NFL is going to tear it up.
The one who sticks out for me is Jaden Daniels. I think he would be the one that I would choose. But I've always
I don't hate that.
Yeah, I've always been a little bit cautious about quarterbacks who can run. And, you know, it's worked for Lamar Jackson, right? But it didn't work for RG3. You know, it didn't work for these other really highly drafted guys that you thought were dual threats. You know, it worked for Cam Newton, different type of quarterback, bigger back. But these running guys, it just doesn't seem to work in today's NFL. So we will see. All right, let's get you updated. We'll take a break, come on back, and hopefully we'll have a plethora of picks that we'll be able to tell you about. Second round, there's been a few selections. Keon Coleman, top pick in round number two. He went to the Buffalo Bills out of Florida State. And then Georgia's Ladd McConkey, the second pick in the second round, off to the Los Angeles Chargers as they made a trade. You just heard JJ tell you that moments ago, the Atlanta Falcons, they have made a trade. So right now, Atlanta is on the clock, followed up by Washington, New England, and Tennessee. All right, there's a divisional pick. Hey, for what it's worth, so far this is brilliant, right? The first two guys off the board, if you are coveting a corner, or you're coveting a guy in the ditch, whether it's the offensive or defensive line, you've had two consecutive wide receivers who have gone. If Jack, and I got to believe it's one of those three positions, right? Most believe it's a corner. All of a sudden, two spots have been eliminated. If Jacksonville can package together some of these picks to move up, we're on selection number 35. Of course, Jacksonville is at selection number 48. All right, keep it right here. Random fire into the second round. It's good to have you with us on the Home of the Jags.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, a little bit of movement here in the second round as the NFL draft now, it becomes random fire. And I actually enjoy this much more. I think most NFL fans do, too. You just want to, you know, it's kind of get along with it. Keon Coleman went tops to the Buffalo Bills in the second round. Ladd McConkey was the second overall selection out of Georgia going to the Los Angeles Chargers. And now Clemson has a draft pick. Let's bring in J.J. LaSalva for that particular selection.
I'm just going to let the Falcons make the pick for us.
Cardinals have traded their 35th pick to the Atlanta Falcons. With that 35th pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Rook Aroro.
That was great. He's a defensive tackle. Yeah. So
that is his name, Aroro.
Yeah.
Twitchy, versatile, struggles to find the ball, apparently.
He is a big man, 6'4", 294. Not as highly coveted as a lot of these defensive tackles. I mean, you look at where defensive tackles rank as far as best available. You know, Byron Murphy obviously was selected last night by Seattle. But you look at guys like Jerzon Newton, who is available.
No, he was actually just taken seconds ago.
He was.
From the Washington Commanders.
All right. Well, there you go. And there's a guy that was mentioned prominently here in Jacksonville. Okay, along with Murphy, who, of course, was selected. If they were to go defensive tackle, those are really the two that were mentioned most, along with two guys who are still available. If you look at, you know, Mason Smith out of LSU, you look at Chris Jenkins out of Michigan, you can even put Braden Fisk in there out of Florida State, right? Those three are all projected to go in this second round. So there you go. All of a sudden, a run on defensive tackles. The best part of this that I would say is all of a sudden now we get to pick number 35 with the New England Patriots. And if you want a corner, and most do, or if you're like me and JJ and you want an offensive line, well, actually, JJ, you want a corner as well. I'll just speak to myself.
I do.
If you want an offensive lineman, you've gone four picks now without either one of those two positions getting snatched up.
And
now,
the Pats just made a pick.
What did we have?
Jalen Polk, wide receiver. So another good one for the Jags.
Man, three of the first five picks, the exact same position as Jacksonville selected a night ago. Again, the board is really falling in order here. So that's, we're now up to 38. So you're 10 picks away. You're not going to trade with Tennessee, I would think, a divisional opponent. You know, we did see that trade last night that we talked about between Buffalo and Kansas City. Not divisional opponents, but they've certainly have faced one another recently in the playoffs. Who could they move with? Seems like Carolina's been trading a lot. They're at 39. Washington, 40. You know, because you have another divisional opponent or a divisional you know, team at 42 when you look at Houston, all right? And then you have Indianapolis right in front of you at 46. So you have three divisional opponents in the next eight picks ahead of Jacksonville that is 10 away. If they were ever going to make a trade, you would have to believe, and again, I'd be shocked if they did anything with Tennessee at 38. So it's really getting to 39, 40, 41, those three picks before Houston selects at 42. That would be my guess. Could be dead wrong, but that would be where I believe this football team is in fact going to end up going. We'll see. The best available, according to ESPN right now, is Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. Okay, followed up by Kool-Aid McKinstry. out of Alabama. A couple of defensive backs. Adonai Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas. Man, he was ranked higher than all of these wide receivers, including Ladd McConkey, including Keon Coleman, including the selection a moment ago. All of a sudden, he's in a little bit of a free fall.
And we have the Titans pick, Devontae Sweat. Tavondre.
Wow. Wow, wow,
these
wow.
These names, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but he was the guy that...
He's the DUI guy.
Right.
Yeah.
So, there you have it. I said all along, all it takes is one. All it takes is one team to go ahead and make the move. I have been pretty outspoken about this. I think people make mistakes, and, you know, forgiveness should apply. I don't support any of this, but I also do believe that the people who typically criticize this most are oftentimes in the similar situation, are in a similar situation. They just haven't been caught, right? Again, I'm not trying to support. I talk about drinking all the time. I do not drive. Every week, I talk about it, okay? If you want to drink, fine. I love drinking. I don't drive. I just don't do it. But I also admit that earlier in my life, I was stupid, and I did. I'm not proud of it. I'm also not going to lie to you, okay? I'm vulnerable just like you are. I make tons of mistakes just like you do. People were crashing this guy. I'm sure he felt like an idiot, especially doing it that close to the NFL draft. But he can play football. And all it takes is for one organization to say, we're going to ride with you. I'm sure a lot of teams flagged him. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if this organization red flagged him and said, no, we don't want a guy. Because regardless of what I just said, the one way to look at it is this, if you want to go the other way. How stupid can a human being be to make that decision to get behind the wheel 3 weeks before the draft? He could have been a first-round pick. Instead, he goes, what, fifth pick in the second round. All said and done. Do we have to take another break here, JJ?
We do.
Oh, my goodness. Can we slide by without one? All right, Keon Coleman, top pick to Buffalo, wide receiver. Also, Ladd McConkey. Wide receiver out of Georgia, went to Los Angeles. Rook Oro.
Which I have breaking news on Rook.
Okay.
To make matters even harder, his name is actually Ogunrukwavy. But he goes by Rook for us. He was born in Nigeria.
What is the craziest? Is it Chris Fuamatumalafala?
Yeah, but Chris is pretty easy. Which I'm sure that's actually not his name. It's like a shortened version, but man. Yeah, I would say Africa takes the cake when it comes to names.
When I was in Chicago and I was doing radio there, I did a weekly show with Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver TJ Hushmanzada.
One of my favorites.
That was a tough one. That was absolutely a tough one. So that is in L.A., right? No, that went to Atlanta in the District of Columbia from Illinois. It's Jerzon Newton. Jalen Polk, wide receiver out of Washington, just went to the New England Patriots. And you told me Tennessee. I haven't seen it anywhere else. I'm going to take your word on it. They went out and got Tavondre Sweat.
Mm-hmm.
So we are up to pick number 39. I believe if Jacksonville is going to trade, it's going to happen in the next three picks. You have Carolina at 39. You have the Washington Commodores at 40. And you have Green Bay at 41. You have the Houston Texans in at 42. So I got to believe that if they love a guy, and we still haven't seen a corner in the top five picks, we still haven't seen an offensive lineman in the top five picks. If Bulky's going to make a move, it's got to happen right now. With 39, 40, and 41 ahead of them, they selected number 48. Will he make a trade? We'll find out on the other side.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, as crazy as last night was, what was it, 14 straight offensive players, six quarterbacks right out of the gate. We have had nothing but wide receivers and defensive tackles that have gone so far in the top, let's see here, seven selections. Three wide receivers, four defensive tackles, including moments ago, Braden Fisk out of Florida State. He will join, he's going to Los Angeles Chargers. Where did Verse go? Did he go to the Chargers or the
No, they're Rams? Both going to the Rams.
Wow, both going to the Rams. So retooling that defense there. Devondre Sweat, defensive tackle, a spot ahead of Fisk out of Texas, on his way now to Nashville. Kind of fit in there well. I remember, you know, trying to think of some questionable players. Albert Haynesworth certainly comes to mind, but we'll see. How freaky is this, though? Three wide receivers, four defensive tackles.
Yeah, and we have bad news for the Jags.
Uh-oh.
Eagles are taking Cooper DeJean, the white cornerback.
So that's two corners after taking Nate Wiggins last night. No, it was Terry and Arnold they got last night, right? In the first round?
Right before them, yeah.
So they're going back-to-back corners.
Or the Toledo guy was right before the Jags.
In Philadelphia. Did they get Quentin Mitchell? Okay. I know they kind of went one after another. And interesting, though, to get two positions, you know, two guys going back-to-back at the very same position. So that is what happened a night ago. Let me see. Late in that first round last night, Mitchell went 22nd to the Eagles, right? And then you had another corner, Arnold, go to Detroit at 24.
It is the same position, but I've heard a lot of people say that DeJean could play safety.
Right, he could play safety, he could play nickel. Certainly a rangy guy. Nate Wiggins was the third corner went last night out of Clemson. He went off to Baltimore. So we saw three corners go fairly late last night, and the first corner comes off the board now in the second round. Again, it breaks the string of three wide receivers, four defensive tackles. So that's Philadelphia at number 40. All of a sudden, this window is really beginning to shut, unless something has happened. The Saints are now going to be up at number 41. Okay, after that, you have an AFC South team in Houston at 42. You have another AFC South team ahead of Jacksonville at 46. The Jaguars do sit at number 48. Best available, you know, there are players that we've talked an awful lot about for the Jaguars that they could get. And that includes corners Kool-Aid McKinstry. That includes Ennis Rakestraw out of Missouri. Rakestraw, for what it's worth, is a little bit smaller as far as your DBs. He's 5'11", 183. You know, Kool-Aid McKinstry, we had several draft analysts on who told us that he's the best cover corner. He's 6'1", 203.
Well, it doesn't matter because he's going to the Saints.
McKinstry?
Yep.
I can understand where some criticism is now going to come in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because look at all the trades that we have seen, and it's not as if Bulky couldn't have made a trade. So it's either one of two things. He's not completely in love with any one of these players, and he doesn't think there's a major difference between a player like that or Ennis Rakestraw Jr. or Kamari Lassiter or TJ Tampa or any other cornerback who is available, or for all we know, he could still be looking at a defensive tackle, even though they've come off the board. You got guys like Chris Jenkins, who's been, by some put to the Jaguars or the offensive line. Hush, hush. The offensive line, we saw a bevy of them go yesterday. What was it, 10 of them? But we haven't had one so far tonight. 10 picks in to the second round. Hacker is here. Coach Campbell is here. They will keep you updated. We will get through the second and third round. That's going to do it for us. I don't check the text line now that the show is over, as always. You can get me on Twitter, Baloo1010XL. Thank you to all of you, though. Got a ton tonight. Just really hundreds on the text line. It's always appreciated. For J.J. LaSalva, my name is Rick Baloo. Enjoy the draft. I will talk with you Monday at 6 o'clock.